Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see everyone who's gathered. It is especially a delight to have our bell choir with us today. So a few announcements. First of all, at 2 o'clock today, we have a council meeting right here. Our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Ron and Kathleen McPhee and Shelley McPhee. On Tuesday, we continue our Bible study, Working Through the Purpose-Driven Life. We invite all to join us. Wednesday at 5:45, we have Youth Night and Confirmation, so we've added a Wednesday in order to rehearse our Youth Christmas program that will be on the 22nd, just to let you know that. The flowers that you see here and there are from the service for Dennis Dobbin, so please keep the Dobbin family in your prayers. I also wanted to let you know of the passing of Greg Gorman, and his service will be next Saturday. So please keep the Gorman family in prayer as well. And at this time, I invite you to listen as the bell choir presents O Sing a Song of Bethlehem.
Pastor, yes. Can I make one announcement?
Yes, you may.
I just would like to invite everybody. December 15th, next Sunday, is the celebration of Christmas at the LDS Church. And we'll be involved, and it's at 4 o'clock.
So if you want to hear the bells again,
yeah,
that will be a good time to do it. Also to hear other presentations as we celebrate this festive season.
Thank you.
you so much for that gift of music that so enhances our worship service this morning. Thank you for all the time and effort that I know it takes in order to do this for us and to do this for the community next Sunday. I do have one other announcement, and that is that you should have a little half slip that says Poinsettias in Remembrance. And so we invite you to list those people that you want to remember or honor with poinsettias at this time of year. And you can put this in the offering plate, or you can put it in Shelley's box. We ask that you do that by December the 20th so that we can print out the names of all those individuals in our bulletin for Christmas Eve. And at this time, I invite the Pearson family to come forward to light our two candles on the Advent wreath. We praise you, O God, for this circle of light that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, kindle within us the fire of your Spirit, that we may be light shining in the darkness. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may welcome others as you have welcomed us. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. Let us join together in singing verse 2 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned. We trust earthly powers and human authority alone. We grow fearful. We cling to false comforts. God of might, we confess that we have sinned. We have turned away from our neighbors. We have trusted false promises. God in our midst, we confess that we have sinned. We plead, come to us. Bring your mercy to birth in us. A righteous branch springs forth. It is Christ the Lord, our Savior, in whom we have forgiveness, life, and mercy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the grace and forgiveness of God. Through Christ Jesus, his day draws near. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, There's a Voice in the Wilderness, number 255.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Let us together pray the prayer of the day. Stir up our hearts, Lord, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. God announces a covenant with Israel, a messenger like Malachi, his name means my messenger, will prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by purifying and refining God's people as silver and gold are refined. A reading from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of the hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as the refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. When the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Luke chapter 1, 68 through 79, responsively. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born in the house of your servant David.
Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear.
Holy and righteous before you, all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. The Apostle Paul was a pastor of many new churches. He writes in this letter about the joy to be in partnership with the Christians of Philippi. Listen to how tender-hearted Paul, sometimes a stern preacher, is with his friends as he encourages them to grow in love and knowledge. A reading from Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy and with every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you behold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And with this, my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The eerie sound of a shofar, a traditional call to prayer, followed by a single voice singing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That single voice repeats the words a couple of times, and then other voices join in with music and rhythmic clapping. Harmonies develop as people sing out with enthusiasm, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That is the scene as depicted in the musical Godspell, though it seems far from how that scene is depicted in today's gospel. John the Baptist appears in the wilderness, a lone voice crying out for people to repent, to turn their lives around, to turn away from their sin and turn back to God. John has been born for this, to be the messenger proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He has come to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah and Malachi and the prophecy of his own father Zechariah at his birth. He has come to point the way for the Messiah. On this second Sunday of Advent, we always hear these words telling us to prepare the way of the Lord. In the season of Advent, a time when we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah, we prepare not just for a helpless infant, but we prepare for Christ to come again in majesty and power as King. And one of the ways that we prepare is by remembering the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, and the ways that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies made by God to God's people. Today, as is our tradition, we will decorate our tree with chrismons made by members of this church, reflecting on the symbols that help us to keep our mind on God and proclaim a truth about God as seen in Jesus, who is God made flesh. The word chrismons is a combination of the words Christ and monogram. The first chrismons were developed by Francis Kip Spencer for the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Francis thought that the usual lights and ornaments were not appropriate for a worship setting, so she began researching and considering ways to represent the Christian faith in decoration. She began by trying to imagine herself in the shoes of Mary, mother of Jesus, asking how Mary might celebrate Jesus' birthday. In our time, how do we celebrate birthdays? A cake with our name on it. Frances looked at the traditional Christmas tree as a sort of cake to be decorated, and she put on it Jesus' name and his title, Christ. However, she did not do that in English. Instead, she used the Greek monogram chi and rho, which looks like an X and a P. It stands for the first two letters of the word Christos. She began to create original designs that told more about Christ and his teachings. The ornaments are white with gold, white to symbolize purity, gold to symbolize majesty. According to an old church newsletter, members of this church started working in May 1968 to make this church's first chrismons out of styrofoam or wire. Ornaments have been replaced and added through the years. May these chrismons inspire you as you prepare your heart to celebrate the birth of Christ. I'm going to ask you to come forward and pick up a chrismon and then show it to everyone. So you need to start with the first one there and work down the line. And I will ask that you hold it up so that everyone can see it and then place it on the tree while I explain what it means. So I've divided them into two categories. The first tell about the one John spoke of, the one greater than he, the one who is Messiah. The second group tell about what the Messiah was to do. So first I need to put my notes in order, as I realize that they're out of order again. And that will create all sorts of problems. All right. So who is the one who was foretold? So if someone wants to pick up the very first ornament. And let us all see it. And this is the Cairo. He is the Christ, the anointed one of God. The most widely known chrismon is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. The Greek letter chi looks like the English letter X, while the Greek letter rho looks like the English P. The cross and chi. The first letter in the Greek word for Christ, chi, is combined with the cross. Only when we understand the Christ and the cross can we begin to understand the breadth and width and depth of God's love. To symbolize the nativity, a rose has been placed in the center of the symbol. Iota eta sigma. These are the first letters of the name Jesus in Greek. The first letter, iota, looks much like our English letter I. The second letter, eta, looks like the English letter N with a tail. The third letter, sigma, may be written as either an English S or C. Here it looks like the English letter C. The Son of Righteousness. The prophet Malachi wrote, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." Iota chi. The iota is the first letter of the name Jesus in Greek. The chi is the first letter of the Greek title Christ, the promised one. The Greek word Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. When the two letters are superimposed, they appear to represent a star. That's the one. Oh, got it. It looks like a star. You have the right one. Iota chi in a circle. When you look at how this chrismon was constructed, you can see what looks like a peace symbol in a circle that signifies eternity, a reminder that Christ is our eternal peace. Christ child in the manger. The circle is superimposed with a chi and a small circle at the top to represent a manger. Christ was born in the lowliness and the ordinariness of a manger. The daisy. This is a representation of the innocence of the Christ child. The angel. In the Gospel of Luke, we read how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. We also read how angels went to shepherds tending their flocks in the fields to tell them about the Savior's birth. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. Angel symbols remind us that the gospel message is for everyone. The Epiphany Star. The word epiphany means appearance or revelation. This star has 5 points reminiscent of the Star of David. It points to the divinity of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, a star pointed the Magi to the place where the child Jesus could be found. The six-pointed star. Here, the symbolism is of crosses that it angles, suggesting the close relationship between the birth and death of Jesus. Three entwined circles. This is a symbol for the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, each eternal. Wheat. We are reminded of the wheat and grapes which make up the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. One of you will get the last one on that side, and the other will get the first one on this side. So the rose in a circle. The circle symbolizes eternity. The rose is a reminder of Isaiah's prophecy that the desert would blossom as a rose, a prophecy fulfilled when a virgin conceived and bore a son and called his name Jesus. And what will this promised one do? A crown of thorns. A crown of thorns was placed on our Savior's head before his crucifixion. Over his head was placed a sign with these words, "The King of the Jews." The letters that in Latin script look like I-N-R-I represent the first letters of the words, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Latin cross. Although we are not certain of the shape of the cross in which Jesus was crucified, the Latin cross is the one most widely used in the Western Church. It reminds us that Christ suffered and died on the cross, taking the punishment of our sins upon himself and dying so that we might be reconciled with God and have eternal life. The Greek cross. When all extensions of a cross are of equal length, it is called a Greek cross. The formal balance of the Greek cross facilitates its use with other figures in Christian art. Two chi's. Two chi's superimposed upon each other. The chi in its usual position represents Christ. The chi in the position of the cross represents Christ's crucifixion. Together, they remind us of what the baby in the manger came on earth to do. The serpent on the Tau cross. This is a reminder of an event in the Old Testament where serpents were biting the Israelites in the desert, and Moses was instructed to make a serpent on a pole. All who gazed on the symbol were saved. The Gospel of John records these words of Jesus: "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The Passion Cross. The pointed ends of this cross are a reminder of the points of the nails, the crown of thorns, and the spear thrust into Jesus' side as he hung on the cross. The cross in glory. The rising sun behind the cross suggests a new day when our Lord conquered death through his resurrection. A circle. A circle symbolizes eternity. It is a reminder of God, who is the eternal one, and of the promise of eternal life with God. The butterfly. The butterfly is a symbol not only of our Lord's resurrection, but the resurrection of all who die in Christ. When a caterpillar enters a chrysalis, its old body dies, and it is transformed, emerging as a butterfly. Christ's body was placed in the tomb, and he emerged victorious over death. Fish. Early Christians used the fish as an easily made and recognized secret sign. During the times that the early church was being persecuted, Christians could find each other by using the simple password. To the outsider, the fish seemed to be merely a decoration. However, to the Christian, it was an affirmation of faith in Christ. And the fish, ichthys. Ichthys is the Greek word for fish. It contains the letters that stand for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. But why a fish? First, because the first disciples that Jesus called were fishermen. Second, when he told them to follow him, he said that he would make them fishers of people. The tree of life. In Christ we have life, and that life is everlasting. Just as through a tree in the Garden of Eden death came into the world, so through a tree came eternal life. Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that all who believe in him, even though they die a bodily death, will have eternal life. We need a tall person for the next one.
Someone tall is
not me. Someone tall. Because this is the crown that belongs on the top of our tree. The crown is a symbol for the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It reminds us of our Savior's victory over sin and death and his place of honor at the right hand of God. And we have a number of other reminders. The words joy, grace, peace, hope, love, and faith. After the service, I invite you to take one or more of these words and place them on our tree. Through the coming of our promised Messiah and Savior, we have been blessed with the most perfect gift we can ever receive. The love of God has entered the world. It has entered our hearts. It has set us free from the chains of sin. This love is too much for our hearts to contain. It spills over into loving service toward our families, our neighbors, our communities, and our world. So let us pause for a moment and recall God's great love for us. Let us pray these words from Philippians. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Amen. And let us join together in our hymn of the day, Come Now, O Prince of Peace. You'll notice we sang it last week, and we'll sing it again next week. It is the hymn that I've chosen for this Advent. And let the words be our prayer. Together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence.
Refining God, move through your church, root out practices that harm your people, and kindle a fire for sharing the gospel among bishops, pastors, deacons, and all the baptized. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Renewing God, transform your creation. Steer us from habits that harm what you have made, and guide us in practices that preserve and restore creatures and habitats. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Ruling God, teach the nations your ways. Strengthen organizations and communities that broker peace and care for refugees, immigrants, and all caught in the center of conflict. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Rescuing God, restore your people who are in any need. Heal all who are suffering. Provide comfort and strength, and nurture sustained wholeness for the future. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Reforming God, fill this congregation with your presence. Enrich our seasonal preparations and bless the efforts by the worship committees, music ensembles, staff, clergy, and lay leaders as they work in the weeks ahead. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Reassuring God, we remember those who have died and rest in you, especially those we name aloud from the quietness of our hearts. Guide us in deep gratitude for their life and allow us to learn from their faithful witness. Lord, in your mercy,
receive
our prayer. Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. And a reminder that even though the bin for the food pantry is no longer up front, it is in the back. So please always remember those in need in our community. out of earth and the hosts of heaven to praise your name and joy their unending life. Gathered into one by the Holy
pray.
Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we lead and hungry in your name. Amen.
And as you go out into the world to share the wonders of God's love, receive this blessing. God of endings and beginnings, God in the darkness and the light, God our hope of the journey, bless and keep you now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in our ascending song on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, number 249.
Yesterday. No one has done this.